This is episode 406 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, October the 15th, 2012.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation since 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McCollum. On the show today, All Things Digital reports that Apple appears to be planning to hold a media event soon to introduce the iPad Mini, Apple's smaller tablet device said to be carrying a display measuring 7.85 inches diagonally. As well, Apple's market share is on the increase, up against PC vendors. Australia's telecommunications ombudsman says that the new telco code won't end bill shock. Social messaging looks to decimate carrier revenues, and Australian television networks start talking about streaming. As well, it's the beginning of the end of one of Australia's long-running tech shows. First up, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, a judge in the UK calls in sureties for Julian Assange. Skype malware harvests Facebook and Twitter account details. More than a third of the world's population is now online. Is Facebook's smartphone seriously in the race? And Google launches an online cultural institute. Welcome to Tech Talk News. A British judge has called in nearly $150,000 in sureties for Julian Assange after the WikiLeaks founder failed to appear on bail for his extradition hearing. Nine high-profile backers who stood as sureties were ordered to pay £93,500 and reminded they face imprisonment unless they find the cash within a month. Chief Magistrate His Honour Howard Riddle told Westminster Magistrates Court he had a real respect for the way that the sureties have conducted themselves in difficult circumstances. Mr. Vaughan Smith is one of the sureties and has been ordered to surrender £12,000. He spoke on ABC Radio last week.
£12,000? I mean, no one really wants to lose that sort of money. Clearly, my family will live less well as a result. However, at least we will be able to live with ourselves.
Mr. Assange sought political asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London on the 19th of June and has remained inside ever since. Long-time voice over IP provider Skype has confirmed it's investigating malware, which is being distributed through its desktop application. Skype is advising users not to click a link if a contact asks, "Lol, is this your new profile pic?" The malware, known as Dorkbot, redirects users to download an installer from hotfile.com that holds the malware. The worm was discovered by internet security firm Trend Micro. Trend Micro says that once infected, computers become part of a botnet, as well as targeting login and password information for Facebook, Twitter, and PayPal before spreading to other Skype contacts. A Skype spokesperson said the company takes the user experience very seriously, particularly when it comes to security, and that Skype was aware of this malicious activity and is working quickly to mitigate its impact. More than a third of the world's population is now online, according to the International Telecommunications Union. In its 2012 report on information and communication technologies, the ITU said, on the back of the increase in broadband services worldwide, the number of people using the internet grew by 11% over the past year to 2.3 billion people. The ITU said internet connectivity on mobile phones had increased by more than 600 million in 2011 to around 6 billion devices in 2012. But in the same report, the ITU highlighted huge disparities in the cost of internet services, with poorer parts of the world tending to pay the most. The ITU also said that income from the telecommunications sector reached $1.5 trillion in 2010, around 2.4% of the world's gross domestic product. According to an article published in ITY last week, a third of 500 chief information officers in the UK expect Apple to push past Samsung in the smartphone market, but 2% believe the rumoured Facebook smartphone will become dominant. In response to a survey conducted by Virgin Media, Apple's iPhone received 7% more of the vote than Samsung's Galaxy model, and ITY said Samsung was twice as popular as its nearest rival, HTC. Chief Operating Officer at Virgin Media Business, Mr. Tony Grace, said there's a huge amount of choice out there for CIOs looking to purchase smartphones, even more so now the iPhone has launched. What's clear, said Mr. Grace, is that Apple and Samsung are way ahead of the others at the moment. Only 10% of CIOs believed that RIM's BlackBerry would be the dominant player in the market in the next 5 years, but interestingly, Virgin Media said, despite not even being confirmed yet, 2% of respondents think the rumoured Facebook smartphone will go on to dominate the market. In July, Bloomberg reported that Facebook was working with HTC to build its own smartphone for release as soon as mid-2013. Just 1% of survey respondents believed Sony Ericsson would be the main supplier of smartphones by 2017. And Google has launched what it calls an online cultural institute, which showcases landmark events and personalities from the 20th century. A slider control lets users select years and events, which contain static images, as well as embedded audio and video. Digital exhibitions include the early life of Nelson Mandela, depictions of the Second World War, the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, and images of NASA's STS space shuttle program. The exhibitions can be viewed at google.com/cultural institute. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Andrew McCollum, I presume.
Yes.
It's nice to meet you again after all these years.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
Cognitive dissonance.
For the viewers at home,
someone threw an iPhone at my head the other week. Last week.
That's right.
My opinion on this is that a Facebook group protesting against Alan Jones is exactly what Alan Jones wants.
It sounds like a job for the Hard Rubbish Collection.
It's a panel of two at this particular point in time.
Oh, very nice.
Want to talk about social networking.
Ooh, that's my bag, baby.
In some ways, Apple has played into Android's hands here.
But if it's under an Adam Turner by line, I tend to believe
it. Are you kidding me? Graham's getting out his credit card as we speak.
Oh, move on, next story.
Oh, please.
You would have liked it. I was playing trains.
No.
Finland.
Oh, right.
The country where I'm born.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
I'm going to just
this
go.
This is for Eric.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Finland.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Finland.
I asked you to leave that out.
Well done, Dr. Ron. That was a ripper.
I told you it'd find its way there. Somehow, somewhere.
He left it in, did he?
He did.
Anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McCollum, camera right this evening. Graham Callaghan, good evening.
Good evening, Andrew.
Lovely vocal rendition there of Monty Python's Finland. In tune and all. It was very good. Front and centre in the middle. Leans. How are you going?
Good. How are you? How's it going? That was very Australian of you then.
Very okay.
How's it going?
Down the end there, Fire Services Australia is in from South Australia this week. Dr. Ron. Well, that's what it says on your T-shirt anyway.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you this week?
You got a new toy.
I've got a new toy.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Shiny.
Shiny things.
Shiny things.
What is it? Are you going to keep everybody in suspense?
It is an HTC One XL.
Pardon me?
Smartphone. Latest HTC smartphone.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
My contract was up and I went to Telstra and said, give me a new handset and sign me up for another couple of years. And they said, sure.
In one of your tweets or direct messages or something along those lines, you said it was...
Asterisk. It wasn't that simple, asterisk.
Yeah. Yes. Something of words to that effect. What happened?
I was doing two things. I was trying to get out of my contract a little bit early. And I was trying to move my telephone service from a personal account to a business account.
All right. So one at a time, moving? How did that go?
Yeah, it took the actual move to the new account.
Yeah.
That was.
And did you get out of it without paying anything?
I did get out of it without paying anything. They started out by saying that because it was 2 months before the end of the contract, there'd be a fee of about $116. And I said, no, I don't think that there'll be a fee of anything. Because I came here a few months ago and I put this date in my calendar and you said to come back on this day and you'd be able to waive the fee. And the lady said, yeah, I can see that someone told you that, but since that time Telstra has changed the rules and now you have to come back in another month.
So what did you say? Thanks, see ya. And I said, wait.
I said, no. I said, have a look at your computer. Tell me how long I've been a Telstra customer for. And she said, oh, yeah, 1994. Yeah. So I'm not going to be paying $116 today, am I? And she said, no, you're not going to be paying $116 today.
Nice. That's the thing. If you've consistently been their customer and you've got a reasonable monthly spend, they'll you can convince them to do stuff for you.
It was almost like the Jedi mind trick.
Mm.
I won't be paying the changeover fee today. You won't be paying the changeover fee today.
Quite often it just depends on talking to the right person. You find somebody who can be a bit flexible.
I wish some pay TV people were like that. Rewarding
do
loyalty
you have pay TV?
No.
Neither do I.
I used to. And then I got mad that all the people signing up, the new people, were getting so much better deals than I was getting.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I said, can I have what they're having? And they said, no. I said,
Sally
cut me off. And they went, oh, but we don't want you to leave. I said, well, you're not making it tempting to stay. So,
yeah, sometimes that's the point where they turn around and say, oh, well, we can put you on the new deal.
Yeah, they didn't.
But they didn't.
No.
No? Oh, well.
They thought I was bluffing.
How's your internet going, by the way, speaking of?
Excellently.
Paying more for it now?
A bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But the service hasn't changed, so that's good / bad.
You might be paying a premium, but you're getting a very good quality service for it. So yeah, that's that's worth it a lot of the time.
It is, especially when you work from home and you don't have a landline phone. So I kind of rely on that internet a lot.
Very good. All right, nothing else really this week. We do have news. If you're a regular Tech Talk Radio listener, you need to hear this news. It'll be after the break.
After the break. This is possibly the most groundbreaking Tech Talk Radio news you're going to hear.
Yep.
Could well be. But anyway, it's must be that time of the week for a bit of this.
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
You can have your say. Oh, this is for Eric again,
is
it?
This is for Eric, yeah, because you're going to read a thing from Eric, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'll have to jump to Eric's one if I've got...
Hang on. Graham's going to sing.
Finland, 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 the country where I want to
dear.
Be.
Sorry, did I preempt you? I apologise.
I had Eric's last, actually, so I've jumped to the end of my correspondence list.
Finland, Finland,
via the feedback address, Eric says, hi, guys.
It's the country for me.
Eric's from Finland, if you didn't know.
Thanks again for a great show. Almost correct pronunciations and roll on the floor laughing memories of Monty Python. A few months ago, I replaced my Nokia E71 with a new ePhone 4S. That's the way it's pronounced in Finland, ePhone. The ePhone has been great for work, especially as I travel all over Europe, Africa and elsewhere. However, one interesting comparison, which you'll never find in a spec sheet, is that despite being developed in...
Finland,
the Nokia earphone cable became as stiff as cardboard at below minus 5 degrees C, whilst the earphone and cable still remain flexible and working even at minus 34 degrees C, an important consideration for listening to podcasts...
It's warm.
...outdoors.
Mm. Yep.
Brr.
Best regards, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
That's iPhone when I say earphone. Apparently you say earphone in Finland.
Do you?
Not iPhone.
I when you... established that, I had already opened another tab to Google what an ePhone was.
A lot of Scandinavian countries say E instead of I. Yeah. Like, it's IKEA, not IKEA.
I did not know that.
Mm. An ePhone instead of iPhone.
So what's this thing? Is that
I
an
have
E?
No idea.
Says E pointing to something.
In Dutch, it's...
pointing to my eye.
Och. Och. Dutch have lots of good noises like that.
They do. Regular contributor GJ... via the contact form, says, again, having listened to the podcast, the issue with privacy and protection is that government is in bed with the corporates and seeks to protect their interest over the privacy of users.
Oh, my.
Free sites does not mean that we are their product at all, or always at least. That was one of my contentions last week, to which GJ has taken umbrage. Wikipedia, WikiLeaks, Wiki this, Wiki that, open source and maker movements are examples of groups that got started because they saw that the internet offers scalability, reach, and incredible power to people. The trouble with monetization, like Facebook, Twitter, etc., is that big investors and their advisors are desperate to hitch a meteoric ride on the next big thing, and so, as I've said before, they bid up the idea, a kind of pyramid scheme, so that whatever it is has to make millions, not thousands, and billions, not millions. Cheers, GJ.
Oh, my.
Does GJ have a point?
Yeah. I think we've probably oversimplified things by saying all free sites without distinguishing between free commercial sites, free sites run by businesses like Facebook and Twitter, and free sites run by charitable organisations or run based on donations or community-based free sites like Wikipedia and so on.
I think we did say, I might be wrong, but I think we did also say just look for where their money comes from, how they make their money.
And that is the point.
Yeah, and to keep that into consideration when thinking about it. So I think that covers that, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, that's I said if you weren't paying for something, you were probably the product. Graham's right, it was a bit of a, but could be an overgeneralization. Yeah.
Perhaps, but it's not a bad attitude to have, I think, because then you're more careful about what you're doing and your information and that kind of thing.
I agree, it's a good attitude to have. Mm. It's a good thing to keep in mind. Thanks, GJ. Prime, via the contact form, says, hi team, I was shocked by Adam's segment last week about Apple's tablet market share declining from 80% a year ago to only 50%.
Yeah, I got blamed from that.
Me too.
Thank you.
Why wasn't this on the cover of every newspaper in the world? So intrigued by Adam's scoop, I followed the link from the Tech Talk Radio Daily through to the eventual source of this decline. There was the answer. It was a US survey of 2,000 people who owned and used a tablet computer from the humorously named Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism.
Boom, boom.
Yep, a small survey, not sales. Market share stories are pointless as only Apple releases its sales, which it does quarterly. Google and Amazon don't report on hardware sales. Neither does Samsung, unless compelled by a law court, and they sell very few compared to Apple in the US. As for the rest of Adam's argument, I think it was Amazon with its forked Android Fire tablet that opened the smaller tablet sales, followed by Google with its Nexus 7. Given that neither company reportedly make money on the hardware, I can see Apple launching the rumoured iPad Mini Lina at a similar price to protect their market dominance. But it's a risk for Apple. Will it be a successful brand extension, like they did from the original iPod with the iPod Mini, Shuffle and Nano? Or will it eat into the iPad's fat profits? FYI, as for Steve Jobs discounting a smaller tablet form, I think he once said that they would never enter the phone market. Yes, he changed his mind often daily, as Tim Cook has confirmed. Now can we let Tim Cook back to focusing on fixing his maps? Lies, damned lies, and statistics. Cheers, Prime.
Mm. So that's why it was so hard to believe.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually maybe 100%. Exactly as it sounded.
There was outrage on the panel. It
wasn't there. Can you equivocate a little bit more, Lena? I think you...
No, I think I did that well.
Are you trying to say that someone got it wrong?
Perhaps. Maybe. I don't know if I said that. Did I?
Neither do I.
I can't remember.
No one quite knows what you said.
In fact, I think it was in the front of Dr. Ron's... previously. We could play it again, couldn't we?
No, it's all right.
Okay.
It's all right. Miss, win some, lose some, hey?
Long-time contributor to Tech Talk, Carl, via the contact form.
Hi, Carl.
Says, hi, team. While listening to last week's show, I started to wonder if, in fact, there's a reality distortion field descending over the team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Firstly, most of the panel couldn't believe the figures that Apple's tablet dominance had dropped from 80% to 50% in 12 months.
Funny that.
But why is that unbelievable?
Because it's not true.
12 to 18 months ago, there simply weren't any other good options for tablets other than the iPad, the iPad. And most of the Android tablets that existed were running OSs designed for phones, were slow, unresponsive, and expensive. Now consumers have the option of the Kindle Fire, the Google Nexus 7, better iterations of the Samsung Galaxy Tabs, plus others all running better versions of Android. When 75% or more of computer users don't live in the Mac world, I would find it unbelievable if Apple's dominance hadn't fallen dramatically. Dan Adams' view was that Apple's 4-inch iPhone and the rumoured iPad Mini were both admissions of playing catch-up to Android, but frankly I think he's wrong on both counts. The mildly larger screen of the iPhone 5 simply makes it 16:9 and gives a little more screen real estate for newer apps, whilst old apps will still run fine with sidebars. It's hardly as if Apple suddenly released a 5-inch Galaxy-like screen. I've held an iPhone 5 and it looks a bit odd at first, but it's very nice to use with one hand, something Apple wasn't prepared to give up. Is Adam suggesting Apple had to stick with a 3.5-inch screen forever? As for an iPad Mini, I think it makes perfect sense. Apple is very good at letting a new market develop, then releasing a kick-ass version and sucking the oxygen out of everything else, as they did with smartphones and music players. It's clear that consumers have embraced smaller tablets, just as I love my Amazon Kindle, for their lightweight and one-hand operation, making reading and casual couch web surfing easy. The current iPad's great, but after a short time becomes heavy and needs two hands, especially for reading.
In bed, at night.
Don't drop it, you break your nose.
No, exactly. And it's heavy after you've held it for a while.
I can think of nothing worse than trying to read in bed at night on an iPad. That's what I've got my Kindle for.
Regards, Carl.
It's
P.S.
Not too bad.
Graham was trying to remember Douglas Hi-Fi with the big tape reels above
yeah.
the shop.
Yes, I was. Yes, that's the one.
I drove past it on the weekend, and I remember the sign, the Tootsie thing or something up there at the moment. But, yeah, it was one of those, when I read that email, I thought, yes, that was it, absolutely. Douglas Hi-Fi. Rest in peace.
Kyle, via the Tech Talk Radio contact form, says, hey, guys, just started listening to your podcast after a friend introduced me. Would just like to say you have made my Monday so much better. Thanks, Kyle. On the subject of signatures and security, I'd like to say that when I purchased my iPhone 5 at an Apple store in Perth, not only did they swipe my card and deduct my account, which was a debit card account, they made me sign to promise to pay the full bill, which I found a bit weird. Anyone heard of this before?
No.
No.
I've not heard of that.
So he bought it from an Apple store?
An Apple store in Perth.
Okay. And they did the pay wavy thing or whatever it was, and debited it from his car, from his iTunes account.
They
swiped the card.
Swiped his credit card. And so he paid
but it was a debit account. Well, what's the point of making them pay the bill? Because you would have to have paid the bill. Wouldn't it come through and say approved or declined?
Yeah. Well, if it's an iPhone 5, I don't understand. If you buy it...
Because you're buying it not from a phone company. If you're buying it from an Apple store, you're not getting it on a plan. You're going to stick a SIM in.
Hmm. We haven't heard of that before, Kyle. You've got us confused.
Perplexed.
Perplexed, yes.
Mm. Also, in regards to second level... Flummoxed. Authentication, a little tidbit of information is that for some transactions, the Commonwealth Bank require users to input a netcode, which is texted to the registered mobile phone number for that account.
Don't lose your phone.
Also, in regards to the biometrics, a mate of mine purchased an S3 recently and proceeded to lock it with facial recognition. The only problem was it recognised my face as well.
Ooh.
Boy, I was about to say you went and hit him.
Did he get a shot from that?
He couldn't use his phone because he had a big bruiser.
Just found it interesting. You guys have been talking about this. Cheers, Kyle. Thanks, Kyle, for writing in. Peter, via the feedback address.
We've got
an enormous Coro bag this week. It's great.
Yay.
Great to hear from everybody. Peter, via the feedback address.
Must have been bad telly the other week.
I think so. Says, hi, guys, including Lena. First, the Hi-Fi shop, big rotating wheels, Douglas Hi-Fi, Marinda Highway, Nutter Wadding.
Thank
you. There you go.
You spoke about the Sony Google TV box. Well, I got one of these when I bought my Bravia recently. I am underwhelmed, and it will probably be going back in its box to either languish in a cupboard or go up on eBay if I can be bothered. It doesn't offer much more than my old WD TV and is missing one important feature.
Ooh.
Google TV apparently does not support network storage, so it cannot see my FreeNAS or my Windows 7 shares, only local USB drives.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Oversight.
Don't go there.
That is a deal breaker for me, says Peter.
For most people, I would have thought.
I hear there's a way around this, but it seems clumsy, involving an app and setting up a server on the target device.
Coming from a company like Google, you don't expect that. You would expect them to be, you know, on the ball with these sort of things. But no, apparently not.
A media center that doesn't talk to your NAS.
I think they're probably more on the ball than they think. You think they are?
They're going down the Apple lock everything else out.
I think they're trying.
So you can only
exactly.
watch Google TV.
Yeah, they're probably trying to lock you into their stuff.
I mainly use the WD TV for catch up television and playing movies and TV series I've ripped from my DVDs. The web surfing on the big screen aspects of Google TV don't interest me at all. I don't want to be a Twit Face Plus in the lounge room for everyone to see.
Twit Face Plus.
A Twit Face Plus.
I like that.
That's what tablets and laptops are for. I guess I'm just an old geezer. The concept of an Android-based box that can run apps might grow into something more interesting, but none of the current apps took my fancy. It has all the usual catch-up apps like iView, Plus 7, etc., and YouTube, but so does the Bravia. The Bravia even has QuickFlix, if you like to get your movies that way, so why bother with the extra box? It may be useful with a cheaper dumb TV set without internet connectivity, but currently it doesn't add enough value to justify the shelf space. When one or another of you are missing, by the way, on the panel, I notice the void, though Adam and Mark make fine substitutes. I'm going to miss Lena when she goes off to have her babby, but congratulations, Lena, and all the best. Cheers, Peter.
Oh, thank you.
That's nice.
Babby.
Babby. How is babby formed?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Last but certainly not least, David, via the contact form, says, hi, guys. firstly, love the show, listen all the time via pod. I currently live 10 kilometres from a country town called Esk in Queensland.
Sup Esk.
Sup Esk. According to the site, ADSL2 Exchanges, I'm currently right on the edge of the limits of ADSL and can't get the service. I currently use Big Pond 3G wireless broadband, which I find a very good service.
Expensive.
And I've clocked it at 9 megabits per second.
Decent.
You can get a service that's supplied over 3G, but is a home installation. So you get like a home router that has a 3G card and antenna in it. And they charge less for that than they do for a proper mobile broadband setup. So that's, Telstra being clever with users in that situation. So I'm guessing that's probably what this guy's got.
Good tip, David. Except it's expensive, so he agrees with like Andrew's comment as well.
I've seen that even with people in city areas where they're living in a flat or somewhere where they can't get the cabling in easily.
Mm.
And, they just go for the service hooked up to 3G, but a fixed
location. Do you have to know the right people to speak to at Telstra? Because I don't think that's going to be on a web page.
No, you find the right people when you fail on your ADSL or cable application. Because of where you're living. Yeah. Okay.
That's how it does. It goes down the chain.
It gets you to the right people then,
$79.95 for 15 gigabytes, David says.
Yeah.
I've checked the NBN map and will not be getting NBN, even in the township, for the next 3 years.
Or longer. Mm. So it hasn't got a green patch over it.
That's it. My question is that...
A lot of places haven't got green patches.
They updated that today.
Ooh. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to have a look.
No, don't bother.
Oh.
I've looked.
Oh, they took places out rather than putting places
in. No, they put more in, but not ours.
Not us.
Me?
No.
Esk?
Esk?
No. If you look at where we are here in the broadcast area of said 3WBC, which we're on right now, that is the hive of nothing.
Right.
So if you can go out in probably a 10-kilometre radius, then it all starts.
Now, and just to clarify, that's the inner to sort of eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Correct.
Which is the population centre of Melbourne.
Yes, Glen Waverley, I think, is the closest.
Yeah, it's drifting that way, that's right. It used to be Burwood a few years ago.
And then into the, what's the city, it's Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Then up north, it's South Sydney and places like that.
And a lot of, I would have thought that the market would be on this side of town.
Mm.
And,
anyway, depressing side, move on.
Mm-hmm.
David's question is, if and when NBN does ever come their way, is there some way to find out if you'll have wireless, fibre or satellite? Cheers, David.
Probably not.
Probably not. You've said that you've checked the NBN Co website, David.
Well, I reckon you'll be able to work out whether you're in satellite or not. That is, do you have to drive 100 kilometres to the next person? I reckon if that's the answer, then chances are yes. But having said that, I know that's a silly, flippant thing. If you are in a very, like if you're at the bottom of a canyon and you live in a rural part of Australia, then chances are where radio signals don't quite get you, the only way is up. You might get a satellite feed.
Mm.
But if you're in the outer rural, sort of more in the... I know that we have a property up north, and that's going to get a wireless point. So you probably have a good guess. I reckon you'd be pretty right.
Yeah, he says he's on the outskirts of Esk, which is a reasonable size
population. I'm just putting that into Google Maps.
Area. My suspicion would be that Esk would be the type of place where there'd be a fixed wireless installation for people that are outside.
How's the population there? Is it a big site?
Town. Population of Esk is 1,166.
You might get a fibre point there somewhere. But other than that, if you're a bit beyond the city reaches, then I'd be saying you'd be looking at point-to-point microwave.
Mm.
Keep an eye on the NBN website as well. It's nbnco.com.au. I know you said that.
Oh, is it? I thought it was nbn.gov.au. But maybe they all roads lead to Rome.
nbnco.com.au.
Yeah. Someone's got nbn.com.au.
Map.html.
Oh, there it is. Esk is in Queensland near Bellevue.
Yes. That's right.
I know you said you've tried that already, David, but just keep an eye on it. That's probably about all we can suggest. Sorry. That's all the feedback this week,
Andrew.
Oh,
it's near the Wivenhoe Dam. Careful, that floods. Especially when it rains a lot. Sorry,
aware.
What did you say, Doctor? And that's it,
that's
is it?
The Coro.
That's okay, I better play this then.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Sorry, I was deep in Google Maps looking at Esk. It's a lovely little part of the world up there in Queensland. You never know. I'd be tipping fibre, but you never know. Anyway, news this week, news that was in, which is subject to a lot of speculation, and I'm sure Linz is going to add to this. According to Mac Rumors, Apple's iPad Mini media event is reportedly scheduled for October the 23rd.
And it's going to be MacBooks.
It's going to be MacBooks. Now, where is your sources coming from?
I think it was the other Mac site.
Oh, there's plenty of Mac sites.
Well, how do you know that it's any better?
Are you going to say its name on air?
I think, no, because I don't know whether it was that one.
Okay.
I just skimmed it. I didn't look 100%.
Did you?
I would laugh until I died of old age if it... Because we're due for new iMacs and new MacBooks. So if it's new iMacs and new MacBooks and no iPad Mini, I will die. I will laugh until I die of old age.
We're due for a new MacBook already, are we?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
What are you going to do if they do announce an iPad Mini?
I'll probably say, oh yeah, there it is. I won't get one, but... Yeah.
7 3/4 inches, apparently, is what they're touting. But anyway, according to All Things Digital, which is where Mac Rumors got their source from, All Things D is a very notable, reputable tech source in the US. And they reported that Apple appears to be planning to hold a media event this Tuesday, October the 23rd, to introduce an iPad Mini, Apple's smaller device, said to be carrying the display as mentioned. All Things Digital reported in August Apple will hold a special event this month which it showcased its new smaller iPad. People familiar with Apple's plans tell that the company will unveil the so-called iPad Mini on that particular date.
The thing that gets me that I can't stop thinking about whenever I think about a possible iPad Mini is what is the price going to be? Because the iPod Touch is starting from $329.
That's a great... Have you seen the new little...
They are beautiful.
They are great little box. I've got one of them.
But the iPod Touch is $329, and the cheapest iPad you can get is around $400 if you get an iPad 2. So what kind of price point would an iPad Mini be? And people are saying it's going to eat into the big iPad's profits. Wouldn't it eat more into the iPod Touch?
Well,
it's going to eat into anything?
It's going to defragment their market, I think, as Adam said in a couple of View from the Couches a while back. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Then the price point, yes, you're right. Lots of
what
things to go into the
priced?
Mix.
Like, I think there's not enough wiggle room in there for a new device, price-wise.
The new iPod Touch, that's got the 5 rows of icons, bigger screen.
So it does.
It's very similar to the iPhone 5.
And lots of colours
It looks pretty much identical, except it's thinner and it doesn't have a phone in it.
Yep, it's black, white, grey, pink, green and blue as well.
They're nice pastel-y colours.
Yeah. Kids will go nuts for it.
Looks like that, says he holding it up to the video camera in the studio, if everyone can see that. If you can't, move closer to the microphone. But very similar. If you held it up with an iPhone, same width, just a tad smaller, same gadgets on the bottom, the earplugs in the same spot, the digital things in the same spot. So, and the camera's pretty good too, from what I can gather. So a really good, happy, snappy thing. Wonder if it's got, I'm sure it would. It'll have the panorama thing on it. I love that.
Probably would, yeah.
Have you played with that? Have you got a 4 or 4S? Is he looking
I've
at
got Lynn? A 4.
Oh, so you don't get panorama.
Yeah, I think that was like iOS 6, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't updated it.
I think a 4S got it and a 4 didn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you got it, which is a real bummer. It's a bit like FaceTime on the 3... Over the radio, over the phone network. You didn't get that unless
3G.
You're a 4S or something like that. Apple's way of encouraging you to upgrade. And are you?
I am going to go up to a 5.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's not according to your tweet I saw. Or was it your AD,
ADN post.
ADN post today.
Yeah, ADN. Yeah. No, I am going to get a 5. But just not just right now.
They're like hen's teeth at the moment. They're very rare.
Yeah.
Unless you know the right people.
I don't know the right people, obviously. Apple, if you're listening, I'd love an iPhone 5, please. On Telstra. Thank you. No, it's not going to happen.
The Telstra bit or the iPhone bit?
Either one. Pick one. It's not going to happen. I will get an iPhone 5, just not right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't stretch it.
You're most of the population. Have you been to their site lately? I think it still says 3 to 4 weeks delivery on the Apple site. So, but I think there was rumors that there was striking or something was going on at the manufacturing plant of these things, which was holding up the production.
I would be getting it from Telstra if I was going to get it. Because I'm going to get a new contract with Telstra because I'm not a Telstra customer.
You can do what Dr. Ron did. Sign your life away.
Yeah. Well, not really. 2 years.
Promise to... Well... A lot happens in 2 years. Look what you're carrying at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It'll be two years by the time it's...
No, I'm going to switch off Voda because there's no point getting an iPhone 5 if you can't get 4G, is there? Really?
No.
So off I go to Telstra.
Well, that's why I think Optus launched their 4G just in time. I don't know how well it works. I don't know anyone who's using it. But some of the Cora that I've seen come in, people are raving about the 4G because they're probably the only people using it.
Yeah.
It's doing very, very well for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm loving the 4G speeds.
Oh, yeah, oh, quick, really? Quick speed test in the studio,
speed
please.
Test in the studio?
Speed test, speed test in the studio.
I'll do it for you.
Here we go.
The best I've got so far is 30 megabits per second down in the city.
Really?
Yeah, and about 20 up.
Now, my friend, I have a question for you.
Ask away.
I have a question for you. Because the fact that everything is going... I teased a little bit about this, and I've got to talk about it later. But because social networking and things like that are taking more and more bandwidth from mobile devices and bypassing traditional revenue streams from the telcos, that is, people are starting to use FaceTime over broadband connections.
Now that they can. Like that. Now they can use FaceTime.
I noticed that Telstra, for the same price, has dropped their included data in their bundles. May I ask how much data you have on your plan?
I had my data allowance increased for the same cost.
So how much data?
For 12 months. So I went from 2 to 2.5 gigabytes.
Wow, you must be on a big plan then.
I think it's a business plan. I think it's $79 a month or $80 a month.
Because if you look at that on the website, that's right. 1.5 gig of data.
Okay, so I've gone from 2 to 2.5, and then I think I go back to 1.5 after 12 months, and I can pay extra if I want the 2.5. So they tease you with it for 12 months.
They get you used to it.
Yeah, but because you are on 4G, that means you consume it faster.
I'm getting a piddling 7.8 megabits per second down in the studio at the moment. That's appalling.
You're not on Wi-Fi, eh?
No, I'm not.
I had to ask that question, that's all.
My phone says 3G, actually. It comes
That's a problem.
So it hasn't got 4G coverage here.
No. Actually, where we are, we don't have 4G, so yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get it from home? Not knowing where your home is, of course.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I've been trying it in the city, and the last few days it's been terrific in town.
Mm. Mm. Cool. I had a customer, one of my customers I spoke to today, who was out at the airport with her brand new 4G USB device plugged into her laptop, and she was getting phenomenal speeds sitting in the Qantas lounge up there. So, good reports where the service is good. Obviously, where it falls back to 3G, you're on 3G speeds.
Hmm. Mm.
Does it do dual cell?
Your
particular device?
I don't believe so, no. Mm. The only things I know that do dual cell are those fancy little hotspot devices.
They are pretty fancy.
Are there any handsets that do dual cell? I don't know of any.
I don't know.
I thought there were. I'm just looking it up now to see if I can find it.
I don't believe the HTC does. So I've retired the desire after all these years.
Served you well.
Yes, served you well. Yeah, I showed the lady in the Telstra store the ice cream sandwich running on the desire, and she lolled.
She lolled,
yeah.
Did she?
Lolled.
She didn't roll for whatever it is.
Ruffled. No, she lolled. And
she lolled.
I said, look what I did. I put ice cream sandwich on my desire, and she said, that's cool. But this is cooler. You'll be happy with the new one.
Yeah, ICS on my desires. It's running slow, but kind of nice. But yeah, it's definitely slow. I can definitely feel that. Yeah, it'd be nice on a device with a dual core processor.
Mm.
It needs a dual core processor
because it I think what it does is it uses one core primarily to keep the user interface nice, and the other core to do the work behind the scenes. So. Yeah, and it makes it a much nicer user experience. Very much more like what the iPads do.
I'm still sitting on the fence. My contract's up, and I haven't decided yet.
I'm very reluctant to move. I've got the old desire. I've put ICS on it, but I've got the expensive bracket in the car for it that I would have to change, and I'd have
I've got a car kit which you actually keep the electronics. It works on any phone because it's Bluetooth, and you just change the cradle, which is about 50 to 80 bucks.
The one I've got is a two-part car kit, so you get the attachment that attaches to your car, and then you get the attachment that attaches to your phone, and you screw the two together.
Yeah.
So in my case, I'd have to change only one half of the car kit, which is the half that attaches to the phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a tweet, I think, from Warlock during the course of the week, holding up a big black box to his mug, going, look what I got, look what I got. So there you go. Some of our listeners have got them already.
Warlock's in our chat room at the moment.
Oh, there we go. He's made a comment.
I just realised I'd forgotten to go into the chat, so I'll go in there now.
and yes, all sorts of interesting people in the chat this evening. Hmm. So, yes. All right, in other news, which I thought was quite appropriate on the day that I won my I bought a digital radio. Did I tell you guys this? A DAB radio, because no one else wants them.
On Grays online?
Bought it on Grays for $9. Cost me more on the postage to actually get the goddamn thing. But nonetheless...
$9 is their starting price.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Buyer's premium would have been more than that too.
Yeah, well, 15% took it up to $13, I think it was. Yeah. And then it cost me $60 to get delivered. No, not quite. But anyway, the bottom line of it is that I now have a DAB radio in the alleged doghouse, which is very good because... lots of computer noise down there. It used to interfere with AM radio and things like that. So I've now gone crystal clear. So I'll be able to give you a report on how good DAB is down very shortly. But that's the reason I was sort of mentioning that. The box in which this digital radio came in, it was a fairly small digital radio. You know, not much, you know, you could easily hold it in the palm of your hand.
Yep.
But it came in a box which the Australia Post guy had to manhandle through the door in the office and struggle up and put on the table. What have you bought now? And I said, oh, it's only a little radio. I got it out and showed you. He goes, oh, my God, and they packaged it in that. Anyway, my point is Australia Post, the man who brought me my DAB radio, Australia Post is introducing 24-hour lockers for online shoppers.
Oh, now this sounds interesting. Tell me about this, because I'm never home to get deliveries. This is always a pain in the neck.
This is the point. Now, it's really handy if you have an office address, and 9 times out of 10, I think anyone who buys anything on eBay or online and anything like that these days puts the office address, because...
I used to do that when I worked out of an office, but I don't anymore.
Well, it's a pain in the bottom if you have to actually go down to the local post office, or even worse, go to a courier depot on the other side of town to pick up your goods, which you spent you know, a shekel or two on, and yeah. Yep,
I had to do that once. I had to go from Mount Waverley, where I live, out to Tullamarine to the depot of the courier company to pick something up.
Not of the freight forwarder or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So these are lockers IRL.
Well, I guess. Australia Post is set to revamp its parcel delivery process to take advantage of the online booming shopping. Now, I know Australia Post are really languishing at the moment.
Can I just pull you up?
Cannot get enough people to deliver boxes.
Can I just pull you up on the use of a meaningless phrase?
Yeah.
Set to. What does that mean?
Set to.
Does it mean they're going to tomorrow, they're ready to, they're thinking about it?
All of the above, Graham.
Right. Thank you. Good.
Just
so we know, this story has now been rendered meaningless by the phrase set to.
Okay. It is to open up. There, ambiguous again. This is according to the ABC, by the way. It is set to open up hundreds of parcel lockers for people who are not home during business hours to receive parcel deliveries. The lockers will be accessible 24/7, enabling people to collect parcels outside post office opening hours. I wonder if it's a bit like a post office box.
Sounds like it.
Except but you get a PIN number or something.
You probably get it just for the period of that delivery, yeah.
Yeah, let's say, please, you go to box 1234 and your PIN number's 5678, put it in and open it up,
it's
and there it is.
Good for people with newborns.
You
might not want anyone going ding dong and waking the baby up.
Yeah.
You can say, all my parcels go to the post office.
Well, yes. Australia Post's annual report revealed that majority of the company's profit is now coming from parcels. Well, it wouldn't be mail, would it, in respect to letters and postcardy things. It's all electronic these days, isn't it? Mm. Great idea. Something I think has been a long time coming, because it has been incredibly frustrating. And I know that one of my colleagues in the office says, as soon as there's an online delivery place, because he works all sorts of strange hours and he's never home, same as what Graham is, he works out of his home, and he's forever being frustrated and having to go and pick up, you know, getting the card from under the door and then finding the time to get to the post office between 10 and 2 on a particular day, and it just doesn't happen for him. So well done, the Australia Post for... starting to go down that path.
Yes, well done for thinking about it, and perhaps let us know if it's actually going to be a reality at some point.
Yeah, good. Now, in other news, which we've touched on briefly, the National Broadband Network is to roll out the network to 166,000 more premises. Now, this is, they updated their maps today, and Adam was tweeting saying he missed out again, and I missed out, and I think my work location, Hawthorne, where the office is, that was on there initially. But nonetheless, you might be lucky if you haven't had a look at the map for a day or three, particularly after recent times. You might find that you've got a green splodge above your suburb, and if you do, then that's got to be good, because I think that means construction is going to start within 3 years.
Lena doesn't need NBN. She has Optus Cable.
I do.
She gets 18 gigabits per second down to her house.
18?
How big?
80 gigabits per second.
Yeah. Been fishing lately, Dr. Roy?
No, it's quite a difference from my old place, which was just down the road.
Yeah. Now, the state of New South Wales is the biggest beneficiary of the latest rollout plans, with 44,700 homes and businesses in line for connection. Of the other states and territories, Queensland set to have 31,200 premises connected, Victoria 27,600, WA 27,100. The crow eaters, 18,000. Tasmanians, 8,900. That's about all of Tasmania, isn't it? And the Northern Territory, 8,300, which I think resembles their postcode. Nonetheless, there you go. If you're in local, go and check out the website, which I think I found it on nbn.gov.au, and Dr. Ron found it on nbnco, I think you said, .com.au. Is that right?
Oh, nbnco.com.au, that's the NBN Co's website.
Yep.
But the one that you said, nbn.gov.au, that's the government.
That's where the rollout map is, isn't it?
Communications Digital Economy website is.
The ABCDE.
I found the rollout map on the one that Dr. Ron gave, but...
The NBN Gov one's on the right-hand side halfway down. I think that's where
it's
I was
on. Yeah, it's on both.
Yeah, should be there. Now, the most important news you need to know all week... Well, actually, probably the second most important news you need to know all week. Bondi Beach gets free Wi-Fi.
Bondi Beach, free Wi-Fi. We don't have a free Wi-Fi culture in Australia like Americans
talk a bit
do
about,
and Europeans do.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a bit about that in my segment.
Are you?
Not that particular
Shouldn't
one,
I,
but free
should
Wi-Fi.
I stop talking
no,
now?
No, not that particular okay. one, but the whole notion of free Wi-Fi.
But are people excited about this? Or are the people like, oh, yawn, oh, well, that's good.
Well,
okay.
I think the actual whole thought of... The whole thought of free Wi-Fi is a good thing, but when you have to see the hurdles you have to go through to get it,
and the restrictions that are put on you, when you've got it.
Yeah, and you log into proxy servers, you know, do all this crazy stuff, and put a username and a password in, and you've got to agree to not use it to, you know, commit criminal offences, and it's like it's too hard. Just use your mobile broadband that you've already got.
Yeah,
good
for tourists.
It is a different structure in Australia where the population is quite a bit more spread out than it is in the USA or in Europe. So, yeah, interesting. I'll be interested to hear what Lena's got to say about it later. I might hold some of my comments till then.
Yeah, it'll be good to talk about that.
Okay.
Mm. All right. Well, Waverley Council's the mob that are doing it in Bondi Beach. Used to be an old Sydney side of myself.
Oh, the council are doing it. That was going to be one of the things I was wondering who's paying for it. Yeah.
No, the council's going to do it.
That's good. Yeah, and, okay. It's a good thing. It's a good council service.
The trial, which would cost between $34,000 and $50,000 to establish and $25,000 a year to maintain, has been investigated since basically last February, according to the council minutes. So, yeah, but it's a good tourist spot. And if you are a tourist, bet you're going to go to Bondi. Sydney, by the way, is the second most expensive city in the world to live in at the moment, according to something I saw in the mainstream press the other day.
It's good for tourism.
Yeah.
You can twit pick.
Second to... Yes, exactly.
Twit pick the beach.
Second to Tokyo is the most expensive city in the world to live in. Mm.
Sydney, is that right?
Sydney's number two. Yeah. Well done, Sydney. Mm. Anyway, they get the odd tourists. They come in and go, "Whoa, how can I live here?" And they fly out because they're poor, broken, destitute. Well, so they need their Wi-Fi.
Come to Melbourne. It's a lovely place.
Well, it's the most livable city in the world.
It is.
They say... Oh, dear. Let's not go down that path, shall we, on this lovely night? All right, listen up, everyone. We have a very important announcement coming up after the break.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Confirmed new iPad mini to debut in October.
That sounds a bit winfo.
Yes, this is good news.
You shouldn't be able to patent things that are either obvious or natural progressions from things that already exist.
Maybe it can loop through.
The red is Office, the green is Xbox.
It's going to make life harder rather than easier.
Well, now you've railroaded me.
Sorry.
On its face.
Whoa.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website, techtalkradio.com.au, or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just before you go on with what you're about to say, Andrew, can I just make mention that I had a look on the Australia Post website and they are live with some of these parcel lockers.
Yes. Is it all around the place or is it you just look local?
Very specific places at the moment. There's four in Victoria, there's three in New South Wales and one each in ACT, Queensland and Western Australia.
All city centres,
so
I assume.
Set to go.
Yeah. Well,
that's what
like
set
that.
Two means. They're about to roll it out.
Yeah.
Parcel lockers, they're calling them. Mm. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Lena's texting as we speak.
No. Lena's always texting or tweeting or something.
Tweeting?
No.
Facebooking?
ADN posting?
No. You're all wrong. Sending an email.
So Blair, you're using your phone for an email?
Yes. Because
that's the last resort for you, isn't it? Sending email.
I'm getting annoyed at Gmail because you know how you have full stops in your address sometimes? And someone who doesn't have a full stop in the same address as mine, I keep getting their email.
Oh, really?
At their friends.
There's someone else that has your same email address with a dot in it?
Yes. Got the dot. They don't. And I keep getting all their stuff.
Okay. Do they work for a government organisation? Because they've been on dots.
And they don't have a Nigerian uncle either. I'm just writing, please cease sending emails to this address. I'm not the intended recipient. Send. Go away. Leave me alone. It's been years.
Spammers, you'll get more now.
Probably. But I did reply all and there was a bunch of email addresses on there. So I'm bugging their friends to leave me alone as well.
Excellent.
All right. Send.
Watch this space. You'll hear Lena's phone chirp to life very shortly.
Beep, beep.
All right, now we have eight Tech Talk radios, if you count this show, to go until the end of the year.
But when you say eight to go until the end of the year...
Yeah, the 3rd of December is the last show.
Monday, the 3rd of December.
For this 2012. And we're going to do something. We're not quite sure what.
Yep.
But we're going to do something because it's going to be a special day for us. Very special day. And that very special day is the last show of Tech Talk Radio, full stop. Yes.
Ever?
No, actually, not ever. Not ever. But it will be the last Tech Talk Radio that you will hear in this time slot on this radio station or this podcast. And you're probably going, oh, no, why are they doing that? Well, to our listeners, we owe you an explanation. Don't we, Dr. Ryan? Off you go.
Oh, gee, thanks very much.
Nice.
I wouldn't do that. I was just doing my Polly Farmer there beautifully.
You're all jealous of my maternity leave.
Well, yes. That's it. Lena's decided. Well, she didn't decide. She has no choice in the matter. Lena was going to disappear off and do what Lena does at the end of the year anyway, because that's what you need to do.
Yep.
And
Abby, by that stage, will be formed.
Yes. Abby. And as a result, in the studio here, there are four people all self-employed. And those who are self-employed are obviously aware of the fact of today's incredible demands of being self-employed, and especially if you have family and all those sorts of things. And we've been doing Tech Talk Radio now for 8 years.
Every week for 8 years.
Every week.
Wow.
Now, it's been a lot of
fun. Even in the summer series, we have to make a Tech Talk every week.
Yeah.
Everyone, we're not doing Tech Talk, we're doing Tech Talk.
I've been here for 2 years of those 8 years.
Yeah, well, we're going to continue on in the pub afterwards, and we're going back to our roots because that's where we're all sort of started from, really. But what we will be doing across the course of next year, you're going to have to keep subscribed to the website's going to be there, the Twitter feeds are all going to be there, we're all still going to be alive and on the end of tweets and things like that. And what we're going to do is, as time to time, the radio station which we broadcast from now has the odd Saturday afternoon vacancies, and we're going to sneak back when you least expect it. So keep you all in the loop for that. So watch the Twitter feeds and do all that sort of stuff. But there's no regularity to it.
So we're going to do a Doctor Who. Instead of having a regular series, we're going to have a few specials during the course of the year.
Yeah, we'll come back and do that. And we might do things in the pod. We might not. But what I'm saying is don't disconnect, because we're going to finish the show on a Monday night live and whatever time you're listening to the show now.
Yes, so it'll be the week of Monday,
Monday the 3rd of December.
Monday the
3rd of December.
Or the week or so following that, depending on when your station plays the show.
Yes. Yes. So that's our news. It's just, it's got to us where at the moment it's at 8 years. We've tried generating incomes from this from all of our points of views, because it takes a lot of time to put this show together. Each of us consecutively put at least 10 hours plus in each week.
So because a lot of people don't realise it's live on air in the studio.
Yes.
There's also a podcast version.
Which has to be produced and edited.
And there's also a version of the show for Community Radio Network,
which has to be edited down to fit their time slot.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult job.
And then there's all the preparation of the actual content in the show,
which one of the other producers has to do.
And the collecting all the coro and tweeting from the Twitter account and keeping a presence and all that and looking after the website.
We have email newsletters. We have websites. We have to prepare news and pre-recorded bits for each week.
And there's that's one important thing that you've forgotten. We all have full-time jobs.
We've all got full-time jobs. We've all got families as well.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's got to the point whereby we don't want to pull back on the production work that we do. We want to keep bringing you a really, really good quality technology podcast and technology radio program, but we don't want to do a half-assed job, and we just don't have the resources at the moment to do it properly.
Yeah, if you're a big major corporation and you would like to give us the resources, we're more than happy to keep going.
Hey, give us a ring.
We need the resources, and that's the key to it, really.
That's what we're missing at the moment.
Yep. Anyway, we will pop up again from time to time. And if, as I say, you follow the tweets, you might get as short a notice as maybe a day. But then again,
but
you never know.
Leave your
podcast feeds up.
Leave your podcast feeds connected, because you just never know when something will pop up on it.
Mm. Yes, thanks, Andy B. 8 years and we still can't pronounce Nokia properly.
Nokia.
Andy also asks, have we tried turning TikTok radio off and on again?
That's what we're going to do.
That's what CityLink did the other day. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do, Leeds. You're right. So anyway, 8 shows to go, including this one that you're listening to right now. So after we finish today, there's 7 to go. And December the 3rd, we're not sure, but something will happen. In the studio.
Stay tuned.
Outside.
Stay tuned. And make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter, because we'll
put
advance warning and information in the email newsletter.
I reckon, you know that guy who jumped from outer space down today?
Oh, I vaguely heard about that.
He fell,
did he?
There was no jumping.
What do you reckon if we put some money on the top? See if Graham will do it for us on the 3rd of December. That'd be a good one.
I doubt it.
From what did he fall?
Very unlikely.
A balloon.
A very, very really? Large helium balloon.
Yeah, it was a very big balloon. He went up and they had video. It was a Red Bull propaganda thing, actually.
Ah. Mm. Yeah. Did he survive?
Yes.
Yeah, he landed on all 2 feet.
Whoa.
The free fall was 4 minutes and something long. It was amazing. And he broke the sound barrier, and he broke the free fall speed record as well.
Yep, and both femurs.
No, he landed very, very nicely.
He didn't break anything. He landed on his feet, stood up, then he went down on his knees and did some religious thing, and then we saw shots of his wife going, oh, he's alive.
Yes, if anything's going to make you do some religious thing, I can imagine that experience would.
Did he have oxygen breathing equipment?
He did. He had...
I hope he did. He had a pressure suit as well, I believe.
Yeah. Someone in the two car said he was pushed.
He had it in the balloon, and he was instructed stage by stage what to do before the fall, and he had to disconnect his oxygen tubes from the balloon.
Right.
But I think he also had some oxygen in his actual suit as well. But I'm not 100% sure. He almost passed out.
His suit was made by the people that make these, who used to make the suits for the shuttle guys, Andy Thomas and the likes.
There you go. Well, they probably know their stuff, maybe.
Yeah. Speaking of shuttles, took down a few Los Angeles.
No, just before
you. I have to
clarify something that was just said in the chat. The ending of Tech Talk Radio is nothing to do with the carbon tax. Nothing at all.
Phoenix, no. What have you done?
It's the fact that women ruin everything. Lol.
That is so not true.
We don't
That's
need...
That's the other political thing going around, isn't Look, it? It's either women or the carbon tax.
People will speculate. They will send us
TikTok
emails.
TikTok Radio died of shame or something.
Oh, don't.
Oh,
no.
No. Oh, went too far.
Why do you hate women so much?
Why do you hate women so much? Any excuse to use that phrase. I love it. Any excuse.
There's a lot of new words that have entered Australians' vocabulary of recent days, thanks to our politicians, but we shan't go there this evening.
No.
All right, so there you go. That was our news. Going to wrap it up. Had enough. We need sanity back, and we all have other things which need to be pursued, but we will be back. We're not going definitely. We're not going forever and a day. We will come back and haunt you all from time to time.
We couldn't possibly go completely forever, could we? None of us would want that.
No. Anyway, we'll deal with that. And as I say, for those of you who are local or maybe even further afield, do put December the 3rd in your diary. Something will happen. We don't know what. But
and
something.
If you're not subscribed to the newsletter, subscribe now and you'll get advance warning of whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. One of our regulars for many, many years, Adam Turner.
That guy.
Controversial.
A little
to
bit.
Say the least. I'm going to leave the microphones open in the studio to hear what Lena says as this goes through.
No.
Here's his view from the couch for this week.
Adam Turner's view from the couch.
I know it makes me a bad person, but I'm starting to wonder if green power boards are more trouble than they're worth. The door-to-door green power spruiker finally made it to my house last week, offering free energy-saving CFL light bulbs and green power boards designed to cut the power to your television and other AV gear when they're not in use. At first, I thought he was one of those dodgy people trying to trick me into changing my electricity provider, and I nearly slammed the door on him before he could explain himself, something he said happens a lot. The guy was also offering free door draft seals, which I actually needed. So while he was installing those on the doors, we got talking about the green power boards.
I understood the basics. They can detect the power drop when your television switches to standby and then cut the power to your television completely, along with other AV gear attached to the board, such as your DVD or Blu-ray player. But I knew that different models offered different features, and I was interested to hear what he had to offer. He was offering Emerald Planet brand power boards, which have a socket for your television and several others for slave devices. There's also a bypass socket for gear that needs to stay switched on, such as your personal video recorder. Attached to the board is an infrared receiver on a long cable, which sits up alongside your television. This way, the power board can tell when you're trying to turn on your television and restore the power. So far, so good, but the hassle with these Emerald Planet boards is they automatically turn themselves off after an hour if you don't use the remote control. When it detects an infrared signal from a remote, such as changing the channel or turning up the volume, it resets the 1 hour timer. There's no way to extend this time or disable this feature. A tiny light flashes on the infrared receiver when your hour is almost up, but I don't really want to feel like I'm on the clock when I'm watching television. No one wants to deal with that when they're in the middle of a movie. It's also impractical for people who have young kids and want to put a movie on for them while they're out of the room. I understand why the board has a timer. I know that it's trying to cut down on phantom power use, but I don't tend to leave my television on for hours at a time unattended, so I don't need that feature. I just want it to kill the power when I decide to turn off the television. I don't want it taking matters into its own hands. Forcing such a hassle on my family wasn't going to go down well. It got voted down in a family meeting over dinner that night. Your mileage may vary, but I wonder how many people install one of these boards and then soon abandon it when they realise how much of a hassle it is. I did a little research and found that the competing EmberTech power saving gear gives you the option to extend the timer to 2 or 3 hours, but you can't disable it completely. 3 hours sounds much more reasonable, and I doubt we'd even notice it was there. It's not going to waste any more standby power in my house because I never leave the television unattended anyway. I don't understand what makes the Emerald Planet designers think that 1 hour is practical. It's actually counterproductive if it encourages people to simply uninstall the power board. There are a few other brands around, so I need to do some more research, but I'm not prepared to put up with a 60-minute timer. It's not that I don't want to save power and protect the environment, it's just that when I sit down to relax at the end of the day, the last thing I need is to deal with a pushy power board with genuine people personality.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Too much Douglas Adams there for Mr. A. Turner there. Power board with GPP. Genuine people personality. I've got...
Sounds ghastly.
It does.
Thank you.
I've got the other one he spoke of there. I can't remember the name. The something tech.
Oh yeah,
little man. Actually, not a little man. My father actually ended up getting them. You get them free in Victoria. You can get them free. They come and you ring them up and they pop around and they give you 4 of these little things.
Right.
And they go between. You can have 2 for your TV or your media center, and you can have 2 for your computers. Now I haven't had any success with the computer ones, but the TV ones actually work quite well. And as Adam said in his report just then, he's quite correct. You can actually get them to run for 3 hours before turning off, which is good for a movie. But let me tell you, with kids, it's brilliant. Because they wander off and leave the telly on, and it shuts it all down after a predetermined period of time. And it gives you plenty of warning. All you got to do is just hit the up button on your remote, or just any remote, any infrared remote.
Yeah, but
remote.
You don't want to be watching for the warning, and you don't want to have the light in your face when you're trying to watch television.
No, you can't. But you can't miss the warning anyway because, well, if you depends on how long you're watching telly for. Do you watch telly for more than 3 hours in a setting?
Yeah.
Well, you're probably in the minority. But, yeah, the little green LED just flashes on the thing and you just push your remote button and chances are you've changed the channel or done the volume anyway and you're not going to notice it.
I suppose a lot of people will be constantly tweaking the volume or whatever.
If you watch commercial television, you have to turn the volume down for the ads and up for the program.
Commercial television?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, you wouldn't get ads on the ABC, would you?
No.
Or SBS? Or actually do on SBS.
Off-air television.
Yeah, off-air. Well, see, there you go. But a movie, yes, you want to sit down and use the surround sound and all that sort of stuff.
So. And certainly you don't want to have a blinking light in your field of vision.
No. But if you...
In a darkened room.
Only pops up every 3 hours if that's the way you've got it set. Mm. But it does. Because our power bill at home was getting out of control with the kiddies and other things. We changed the fridge. We've gone down and we're going to do all the LED lights in shortly.
Bad seals on your fridge and too many... air conditioner units is probably more to do with that than your entertainment centre.
And using your dryer, that's that. Oh, one. Yeah. That's a bad one.
Our dryer broke. Ooh. I deliberately haven't fixed it.
Good move. Good move. If you can make it through a winter without a dryer, you don't need one.
We have. We went to Bunnings and got all those funny little clothesline things that you put over the gas heating vents around the room. Ah. Use those. And on the odd day here in town where the sun shone, the clothes went on. The line, that is.
Right.
So that was good. So it'll be interesting to see. And we also changed the electricity company too. You've got to keep these guys honest. Because like phone companies and internet providers, they're not going to say, hey, guess what? We've got a better deal.
No.
They leave you on that deal until you realise, I need a better deal. Then they say, but why didn't you call? And I said, well, why didn't you call? Anyway, we changed electricity providers as well. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll get it down.
I might have to do that.
Shop around. It's like insurance companies.
Because it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
We've gone from a 3-bedroom house to a 6-bedroom house. There's a bit of bill shock there.
Double the energy consumption. Double the energy consumption.
Try triple.
Really?
Triple the bill. Yeah.
Well, hot air rises and it's two stories, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Four.
Gets you where you least suspect it, right in the wallet. Yeah. Pow.
And especially the way you are at the moment, you're probably liking the home comforts at the moment. So there goes the electricity bill.
I'm going to buy one of those doona suits back when I'm normal sized. Have you seen those?
No, what's a doona suit? It's a doona suit.
It's a like a onesie, but it's made out of doona.
Really? I'm sort of picturing you as the Michelin man here
it's
in my
exactly
mind.
It's exactly like that.
Is that right?
Yep. They're amazing.
You see these things on TV at 4 in the morning. And it's at 4 in the morning, sometimes these things look a little bit too much like a good idea.
They look fun.
You haven't done something.
A blanket for watching television, a blanket with arms.
The slanket.
Whatever. Yeah, that what it's called?
And the snuggie. They're the same thing. But the doona suit, look it up and tell me you don't want one. Seriously.
All right. We'll do that while you do this, shall we?
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
You know how last year...
I can't remember that a long time ago. I don't know what I had for breakfast today.
I bet you haven't had dinner yet.
Last year before was quite sad for a lot of shutdowns in game development in Australia. And today, this year we've been very sad when things shut down.
It
is. This year, TikTok shutting down. That's true.
We'll be right.
This year's not been any different. It's been a little less than there have been in the previous year, but we've got another one now.
Oh, really? Local?
Yep. THQ Australia is to shut down. Asia Pacific,
what do they do?
I believe.
Who do they write for?
Oh, they're a publisher, and they were a developer. They had the Blue Tongue offices here. That was one of their developing houses. They had a few developing houses. THQ's Melbourne Australia office will shut up shop in the region within months, the firm announced today. All local staff have been dismissed.
Oh, ouch.
Following the news, with the publisher's future software distribution to be handled by third-party All Interactive Entertainment. There was only 18 employees left because they have had a lot of cutbacks, but that's still 18 people without a job, and our thoughts are with them, especially considering how hard it is to get a job in the industry at the moment. The evolution of our distribution model in the Asia-Pacific region will allow us to increase our reach with a lower-cost model, THQ's Executive Vice President of Global Publishing, Ian Curran, confirmed in a statement. AIE, not the Academy of Interactive Entertainment, this is All Interactive Entertainment, is a trusted business partner with whom we've worked with for many years as our distributor in New Zealand. We believe the company will benefit from AIE's backing and comprehensive distribution networks across Australia. So that's very sad, and we think of everyone who's at THQ who's been laid off. That's never fun, and we hope you get a new job soon, even better than that one. Now, Andrew.
Oh, yes.
Your chillins got a new game this week.
They did.
What was it called again?
Super Mario Brothers Strikes Back.
That was
Lego people.
It was new Super Mario Brothers.
If you say so.
Because I said that and you said it's not new. And I said, no, it's called New Super Mario Brothers.
Is this like the new iPad?
No, not really.
It's a lot of fun.
This is that came out a little while ago. That came out probably 2 years ago, maybe two and a half. New Super Mario Brothers 2 has sold 295,000 units in September.
Wow.
Whew.
That's a lot in 1 month.
That's a lot. Research group NPD revealed yesterday that New Super Mario Brothers 2 was September's fourth fourth best-selling game in the United States. Now, Nintendo has provided specificity. Don't make me say that on the radio.
Specificity. That's a great one.
Specificity. It's like reciprocity.
It is.
It's fun to say. Saying the game shifted 295,000 units during the month. Nintendo also said Mario Kart 7, Star Fox 64 3D, Kid Icarus Uprising, and The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D all saw sales increasing compared to the last month. That's good. Overall, total 3DS software sales jumped 89% compared to this time last year.
That's got to be good for Nintendo. They were floundering there for some time.
It's a rough place to be at the moment. Yeah. Total US September software sales dropped 14%. Which is pretty massive, to 547.3 million. Madden NFL 13 was the best-selling game of the month, followed by Borderlands 2 and FIFA Soccer 13. Now, that there is normally a September-October slump because we do have a massive, massive rush November-December to make the most of Christmas. So don't think it's all doom and gloom. It is a natural thing that happens each year. It does ebb and flow. You know how we're talking about Wi-Fi before?
Wiffy, yeah.
Wiffy. I've got a headline for you. Queensland Rail hates gamers and fun.
Look, trains are a very serious business.
It's true.
And it's not for gamers to be expecting Queensland Rail to provide them with fun.
Yes.
They need to generate fun
themselves.
We have
a train enthusiast.
Well, you wonder why we're going.
The experience of being on the train should be the fun. That's all the fun anyone would ever need, isn't it, Dr.
Yes,
Rod?
Yes, Graham's absolutely right.
Well, see,
it's got nothing to do with Wi-Fi.
The mere existence of a train.
The privilege of being able to ride on
or even
such a
watch
form
it
of
go
transport.
Past.
Or even watch it go past. Even to be able to write down the carriage number and the time from the timetable in your notebook.
Oh, such joy.
I've been on trains in Melbourne a lot and wishing for free Wi-Fi.
Really?
I take it
back now.
You're
gutsy.
I take it back. I don't want free Wi-Fi anymore. Because if they're going to do to our Melbourne free Wi-Fi on our trains what they've done up in Queensland, I'm not interested.
So what exactly did they do?
They're trialling a system at the moment that allows users to access Wi-Fi on its trains, but it looks as though sites featuring games or game content, even reporting about games, are being actively blocked.
Why is that? Because of the data consumption?
Because they hate fun. They hate fun.
No, nothing. Put fun aside. Is it because of the fact that it's going to consume too much data? Like they've probably got a certain allowance and they only want you to
turn images off. Make it so you can't access images
they
on the Wi-Fi.
They don't want you setting up a Minecraft server in your briefcase.
On the train.
Yeah. Games are currently being classified alongside criminal activity, hacking, intolerance and hate. They all make sense. Personals and dating, and multiple others as content that cannot be viewed using Queensland Rail's Wi-Fi service. This is Kotaku. Speaking to a Queensland Rail representative, banning games is all part of an attempt to keep any content viewed on Wi-Fi G-rated. Oh, please.
Oh, no. Serious?
Yep. With content, we have to make sure everything is G-rated, explained the representative. Even websites like, wait for it, Facebook and YouTube cannot be viewed. Anything that we feel has a lot of unregulated content has to be removed.
The entire internet is unregulated.
The internet is unregulated.
On the plus side, their data usage is going to be nice and low.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to do this all on one of Telstra's 200 meg plans.
They will.
If this is the case, we asked how it was possible for Queensland Rail to allow any sites to be viewable using its Wi-Fi service. Almost every website on the planet features some amount of unregulated content. Information sites are allowed, explained the spokesperson. You can search with Google and Wikipedia is okay. That's some of the sites that I've used. I can still look up inappropriate things on Wikipedia, thank you very much.
Oh, good.
Don't challenge me, I'll do it. Don't call my bluff. Apparently, games are no exception. Queensland Rail is actively blocking a number of sites. Most news sites...
Like the timetable site, by chance?
No, news sites. No? Even reputable sites such as CNN can't be viewed using its Wi-Fi.
Video. There are currently, it's got to be bandwidth related
there
stuff,
are currently
surely.
No plans to remove these blocks. So if you think free Wi-Fi on the train would be amazing, yeah, what are you going to use it for? You can't even read the paper
getting
on the way to work.
Getting a new book on your Kindle, I guess.
You can't even read the paper on the way to work.
Oh, Queensland Rail.
Oh, dear.
What have you done?
And
what
that's taxpayer money.
If you download a dirty book from Amazon, that would be, no. Ooh,
oh,
no.
But books, no, books are fine. Books aren't scary. Oh.
It's just text.
The internet is scary and games are scary, but books are fine. You can read Lady Chatterley's Lover and be fine.
Edibear
no one's going to get
in
banned.
Our chat room asks, can you get to proxies?
I have no idea.
Oh, someone in Queensland, let us know.
Yeah.
Give that a try.
Who's our listener who lives at Esk?
Oh, that was that Paul?
That was...
We've got Georgie up there.
Have yeah, we do. We've heard from Georgie for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
Calling Georgia.
Because there's free Wi-Fi on ferries in Sydney and Bondi Beach now.
David was in Esk.
Was it? Or maybe he catches the train into Brisbane or something.
So the Bondi free Wi-Fi, I wonder if there's any restrictions on what kind of things you can look at. I can understand when you're in close proximity people, you don't want people looking at porn on their phones. Care of the taxpayer.
Who does that?
But having said that, you don't yell at people reading certain books, you know. How many times do you see 50 Shades on the train? And you giggle because they're reading a dirty book. But yeah, so...
Yeah, that's why you have to put another dust jacket on it.
Yeah. I'm tempted to say Queensland Rail, doing it wrong.
Oh, poor Queensland Rail.
Clueless.
Which is a shame because in terms of security, they do some things that I think are quite good. They have a lot of security guards and stuff on their trains.
Do they? Well, yes, I'm not surprised. They probably confiscate your copy of 50 Shades if that's what they're into, yeah.
But yeah, that's really unfortunate. I think I think it's a stretch to call it free Wi-Fi, considering it's very restricted and you've also paid for it in your taxes.
Maybe there's a politician behind testing a firewall or something. I don't know.
Free only in the sense of cost.
Yeah.
Yep. And even then, taxpayer money. So who knows? Oh, well, that's all I've got this week. Not much happened.
Yeah.
And I was kind of mad about that Queensland Rail thing.
Really? Yeah. I can sense you're a bit fuming there.
I am.
Oh, that's all right.
Queensland Rail hates gamers and fun.
Fortunately, you're 2,500 kilometres from there, so you should be okay.
I should be all right.
You won't be out of the fallout zone.
I won't have to get a Queensland train tomorrow.
All right. You are listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
I'm watching less and less free-to-air television. It's just atrocious.
I just wish The Chaser were back on air.
Sad state of affairs when you're looking at The Chaser for cents.
And three-day shooting first.
Don't even start me on that.
You used to make mixtapes. You'd have a blank cassette.
I did discover a workaround.
There's a workaround for Greedo shooting first. No.
You can get the squirty one.
Ew.
I think fault's on both sides.
Yeah, a little turned on right now.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, yes. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're all talking about other things in the studio. Yes, a few other things happened during the course of the week. NBN are going to start cutting copper. Did you know about that? So the rollout of the National Broadband Network the first copper is going to be removed in the next little bit. So you'll only have a choice of fibre. I don't know how that's going to work for the opt-in people, the opt-out people, because I think at the moment you can opt out. Maybe you have to be in the city centre for that.
You have to opt out now. They changed it.
Yeah.
Because they did have an opt-in model, and they had only a very small number of people that were educated enough to sign up to it.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, not everyone in the world enthusiastic about technology as us.
Yeah, well, the NBN Co has unveiled plans to disconnect copper and cable broadband services at 15 of the first fibre rollout areas by May 2014 as it moves to migrate customers off Telstra's fixed networks. Now, this means that I think the big black cables that we all have hanging in some city streets around Australia, Optus being in the sky and Telstra being underground that you don't see, they're going to migrate all those services off that very shortly and decommission them. Be a lot of copper going around for those.
Most of what's on those is pay TV service. I'm not sure they're talking about that. They're talking about...
Foxtel will come in over the glass at some stage.
Yeah. What they're talking about, it will at some stage. That's not what they're talking about here. What they're talking about copper. here is the traditional phone line, not the new hybrid fibre cable networks that they put in a few years back. They're talking about the phone line that they put in 100 or so years ago. And that's the one that's going. And that's appropriate. That's exactly as it should be, because the whole point is that network, that's 100-year-old technology or more, is...
Oh, like copper. It was romantic.
Romantic, but it's at end of life. And there's no point keeping it there because you only have to maintain it. And, of course, we know that it hasn't been properly maintained lately. Anyone who's got a crackly phone line...
Why would you maintain something that
and
is
no
going to
ADSL.
Become... It was built in obsolescence.
Yeah. So... No, decommissioning it so that you don't have to maintain it. You only have to maintain the... at the moment, they'll maintain the HFC cables and the NBN probably side by side for a while, and then they'll migrate that stuff across as well.
I think that was part of the Optus deal, though. They did $800 million to migrate people off their black cable into NBN land as well. That was part of their deal.
Yeah, that's
Telstra
right.
might hang around a bit longer.
Similar thing,
Anyway, the network operator plans to begin a public information campaign in the selected areas, some of the first to get NBN fibre connections as part of the rollout, as it counts down 18 months until most copper services in fibre-connected areas are switched off.
Yeah, people will be scared by this, and of course certain areas of the media will, you know, make it a horrible, dreadful thing and all of that. But in fact, it's appropriate and logical and sensible.
Speaking of scary things, Windows 8. It's not far off.
That's the opposite of sensible and logical.
The blood just drained out of your face.
It did.
You have paled.
It's like Halloween already.
Visibly paled.
Yeah. It's just a reaction. Did you see it?
Yeah,
it
I know.
Like a, yeah, anyway. Users of the Windows UI, formerly known as Metro, will only be able to access Flash content that has been whitelisted by Microsoft.
Oh.
This is according to some technical advisories that came out today. Developers noted that Metro would not support Flash after previewing Windows 8 tablets at Microsoft's Build conference last year. An advisory by video hosting service Brightcove confirmed last week that Windows 8 would ship with two versions of Internet Explorer, one for the desktop and one for the tiled Windows UI. Mm-hmm. Flash is going to be an interesting kettle of fish. But anyway, I think that's HTML5 is the way to go, don't you think, for video? Still going to watch it. YouTube's all HTML5 now. Well,
Flash is dead, but I was saying that a long time ago, wasn't I, boys? And who was giving me shtick about saying Flash was dead? Huh?
Who?
Huh?
Who?
No. iPhones can't even run Flash. And then when Android can't run Flash, you don't hear about it. Where are all those people who cared so much? They're gone.
Now Metro can't run Flash, but you probably can in the browser in the old desktop-y type Windows.
Well, unless the whitelisting is part of it, I don't know. In other news, what should I talk about here?
Windows is at end of life almost. I think it's if they continue down this track much longer, they're just not going to have any.
Someone made jokes in the chat just before Tech Talk Radio is finishing up. Who's next? And someone said Microsoft.
Well, Microsoft are not at end of life, but I think Windows is heading that way, really.
Yes, I have to agree with you. In other news, when I say other news, different topic, figures show surge in mobile downloads. If you never had any issues that smartphones were here to stay. Well, bandwidth is on the up and up. Dr. Ron's testament to that. He can now consume bandwidth, the mobile bandwidth, at a rate he's never been able to consume
before. Ferocious rates.
Yeah. What does that mean for services that you might be receiving? Well, you never know. You've got plenty of bandwidth. You should be able to see it. Anyway, new figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics show a significant increase in mobile data downloads. Well, we knew that because Telstra revealed that with the MCG Grand Final this year. Everything was up mega times, double, triple in some instances, triple I think for bandwidth and double I think for phone calls. 100,000 people there, they all made two phone calls during the course of the game on average on 3G. Anyway, the figures show about 6 million Australians use mobile wireless connectivity, an increase of nearly 7% in 6 months. In the 3 months between April and June, mobile users downloaded 6,610 terabytes of data. Think about that. That's a lot of data.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and Dr. Ron's going to contribute to that considerably because only the reason because he's got his first LTE device in the studio.
Oh, well, now. Yeah, I'll contribute now.
Yeah. But you think of all the iPhone 5s that are rolling out. You think of all the new HTCs that are rolling out that are all 4G compliant. It just means that the things that happen in the background, sure, you're not going to get your videos buffer, but by goodness, you're going to use some bandwidth, especially if you go the high quality options on some of these things.
And you have to be careful. If you've only got 2.5 gigabytes or 1.5 gigabytes per month.
Yeah, bill shock.
Not like at home where you can say, oh, I'm just going to pull down that ISO or that service pack or something. It's only 600 meg or 800 meg. Oh, look how fast it comes down. Isn't that great? I got it in 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah, and but doing things like
that's nearly your monthly allowance is gone in one download.
And doing things like backups. Like if you're like me, you will probably have photos on your phone, which you use Dropbox to upload to places, and it just does it all on the wireless, not the Wi-Fi network, but the wireless network. And if you're a big happy snapper, well, these cameras are all getting bigger in their megapixels, and the JPEGs are getting bigger. And if you're not wary of it.
Can't you configure the Dropbox client to only synchronize when it's on Wi-Fi or something like that?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that would be sensible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But I'm not like that. I've got a big data plan. I go for gold because I'm only on a 3G data plan on my thing. So, I've got a 2 gig data allowance and I'm lucky to crack 50% of that unless I'm in here.
let you guys connect to it. But other than that, where we can go through 450 meg in a night. But that's another story. yeah, so anyway, data is on the increase. And just to add a little bit more to it, almost half of Australians online, adult population, now watches professionally produced video content on the web, prompting the free-to-air TV networks to discuss building a joint online streaming service.
I was about to say, and this is more and more time that people aren't watching free-to-air television.
Mm. Yes. The communications regulator found that 5.2 million Australians looked at professional online video content in the 6 months to June. Of those, 61% watched TV programs, 35% watched films. There's a discrepancy there. I don't know what the other watched, but nonetheless, maybe they were surfing Queensland Rail.
Lolcats.
No, they wouldn't have been watching much if they were on Queensland Rail, no.
No.
Lolcats usually aren't professionally produced.
No, that's and that in itself is an issue we need to talk about.
We do need to talk about that.
Anyway, Freeview said they were in serious discussions regarding the new platform, so watch out. If you're
has
that way
inclined. Has this been floated before?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Having said that, something that I was reading over the course of the weekend, and this just tell me to go on to the next topic if it bores you, but I was reading the BBC blog over the course of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And they are in the process of shutting down all their standard deaf channels and moving to high-definition channels right across Northern England and Ireland and all those sort of things. Okay. And they're moving their transponders. But the point of difference is, these guys are accountable. You can come up and ask the head of engineering at BBC, why is my transponder not working? And they'll say, oh, well, you have to switch to this satellite because they're moving all their feeds around. But they're actually, their motivation is quality, which is the exact opposite of what we have in this country. Their motivation is content. And as a result, we can get more content out there with less quality. Do the maths. So I thought that was good. Accountability.
Yes. Why have quality television when you can have four times as many channels of infomercials?
Yes. And with the bandwidth being the way it is, we're sort of like when iView first started, which is the ABC's on-demand thing, and look at all the TV stations on-demand in this country, everything's low-res and squashed. And so I understand the portable devices and stuff like that, but haven't we moved on from that now? Haven't we moved into 4G land with nice
Well, you can't even get any ABC One programs in high definition.
No.
There's, they show these things that are produced in beautiful high definition, and there's just no way to see them that way in Australia.
For example, the latest season of Doctor Who.
As one example, but many, many other things. And documentaries and some shows with beautiful TV show production values have gone miles ahead in the last few years, and there's beautiful pictures being produced in some of these shows, and they just don't make it to the screens here. It's just so
sad. Well, they do, but
that's right, and yet they've got their high definition channel there, and what are they showing on it? They're showing news.
Well, that's the ABC for you. They went to that way.
Mm.
And I must admit, I have
noticed...
Well,
and at least two of the... all three of the commercial networks are using their high-def channels most of the time to show reruns of shows from 30 years ago.
Yeah, Get Smart's never looked so good in HD and with their heads chopped
it's
off.
It's not in high-definition, though.
And Bewitched and all those sort of things.
No.
MASH is on, I think, at the moment on 1HD.
Yeah. Well, I love MASH.
Yeah.
I've been watching it.
Have you?
Yep. Love MASH.
Now, speaking of shows produced 30 years ago and high definition, Star Trek starting to come out in high definition, where they've gone back to the original...
the TV series?
It's TV series, Star Trek, The Next Generation. And
with William Shatner in it?
Well, the original series as well, yeah. And because, of course, that was all made on film, on 35mm film. The original series.
It was, wasn't it?
But Next Generation, which was on in the late 80s, early 90s, I think I'm right, was filmed all on 35mm film and then converted to TV for the special effects and so on. Now, what they've done is they've gone back to those original 35mm films, scanned those in beautiful 1080p high definition, and redone the special effects.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
When's this coming out?
It's out.
Oh, really?
We'll have to talk after the show. It is fantastic, and you've no idea these things on standard def TV. If you pull out your old VHS tapes, they look murky as anything. But the pictures are just beautiful. Yeah. Because they've gone back to the original 35mm film off the cameras, which has all the detail in it.
Yes.
Even though it was made for TV. And one of the other things they've done, of course, very, very sensibly, is they've kept the 4:3 aspect ratio as the original producers intended, so the framing and everything is correct.
Yeah, well, otherwise they'd probably have bits on the outside that weren't intended. Because remember when we moved from 4:3 to 16:9 ratios, and
some shows when they filmed them, like I think Seinfeld did this, although they were going to air in 4:3, they protected the sides of the film frame so that there was no equipment or anything out to the left and right of the shot, so that when they rescanned the film later for 16:9, that there was more room there to expand the frame.
Yeah.
So some shows like that are able to do that, and Stargate was another one. Stargate SG-1 was another one that did that. And all their DVDs came out in 16:9 ratio.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. In Australia now, we're very much up to widescreen television. Like, all the content that we produce commercially goes out in widescreen with all the titles hanging out beyond the old 4:3 because it's only got less than 12 and a bit months to run. I think Melbourne and Sydney and those get their digital only service as of the end of next year. Like, Adelaide, I think, turns off very shortly. Like this year, the end of the year. And there's a couple other city centres, I think, which there are not many left now. Mm. So as a result, all the content going out is now widescreen. But if you want to have a look at the epitome of television, watch The Footy Show or something like that on Channel 9. And I'm not an advocate of it. But if you look at the way Channel 9 frames all their pictures in widescreen,
they're all protected.
Everyone's all squashed up in this little 4:3 box. Yeah. And hang on, 9, we've moved on from that now. You can actually let people hang out, at least into 14:9.
Yeah, yep.
Because I don't know. Only the local fish and chip shop down the road from me has got an old analog TV in it. And even then, the guy was talking about putting a set-top box on it the other day.
I can buy them for a few $100s at your local supermarket or something. When you're going to get your groceries, you get a widespread TV.
A few hundred? Oh, set-top boxes. They're about $20
your set-top boxes, $25.
Oh, yeah, TV with a high-def tuner in it. It's only a couple $100.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to watch the picture on it, though.
Well, don't watch the picture on it, Graham. You stay at home and people who want to, I'm just saying, if you've got a fish and chip shop, like Andrew said, or something like that, and you just want a TV sitting on a coffee table in a foyer.
Yeah, no, that's true. You're absolutely right.
They're a dime a dozen.
Our local pizza shop's offering variety now. We have two televisions, one on two separate channels, so you can watch the Channel 9 news or the Channel 7 news simultaneously while you're waiting there to pick your feature
up. Sound up on both?
No, they have sound down on both. Oh, okay. You just watch the pictures.
Some people don't care about the picture that much, Graham. My parents' television, this is going to hurt your brain, is 60 hertz.
Okay.
You know the old saying, 60 hertz hurts? Does. Very much. But they don't care. They don't care. They just watch the news. That's it.
Do they have remote control wars? Have they got the volume wars?
Not really.
One of them's got the volume.
Sounds like they probably don't know what the remote control's for.
They do. They do. No, they do.
Can I tell you a funny story?
They just watch the news and that's it.
I'll tell you a funny story, which you can either edit out later on for podcast purposes. We used to have our neighbours, you could see the television set through out our window and into their window. And they had a Sony like we did. used to stand up there and change the channel for them out through the window.
Oh, that's mean.
That is mean. We used to have that problem accidentally at home. We used to have, in two adjacent rooms, used to have two different Sony TVs, and the remote controls would frequently accidentally hit the other one.
Yes. See, quite often wonder why your television. And there's some great devices that used to be out. There was one that Dr. Ron and I bought one. TV Be Gone.
TV Be Gone.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was a laugh when you walked past the TAB.
With their 14 monitors.
And the 14 all the race monitors. And there's one remote that
press the button and you
turn televisions off.
Allegedly.
Did you tell your neighbours what you were doing before they went and replaced their television because they thought something was wrong? Because not, you're a bad person.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
No, they didn't return it, did they?
Is this what the shows are going to be like as we head towards the end of Tech Talk Radio? A lot of the little home truths come out?
I don't know. Is that a home truth?
Well, I don't know. It's the things we used to do as younger people, really. So playing with technology.
The TV Be Gone was like a key ring TV remote control, and this had one button on it, and that button was off. And what it used to do through all of the common television infrared codes for off turning the television off.
Yep.
And it would just, so you just press the button and pointed at a TV for maybe 5 seconds or so, and eventually it would hit the right code and the TV would switch off.
Oh, I'm sure Lena thoroughly disapproves of that as well.
Mm. You walk in into any white goods shop and it was a laugh.
Oh, it was funny in white goods shops. We had a wall of 50 televisions and you go, off, and they went off.
That's got to be pretty satisfying though, doesn't it?
The best thing was though, you'd be sitting in your local restaurant and or whatever it is like that, and just, that's awful, that picture, or turn it off. You click and turn it off.
Where's that noise coming from? Yeah. Is that TV up there? Yeah, off. Thanks.
Nice. Neutralised.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, let's lift the standard. Odd Spot Gadget app and website of the week.
Is it that time of the week already?
We'd be desperate if that's going to lift the standard.
It is. Well, I know what.
Oh, Graham.
We're going to lift the resolution anyway. Coming up after the break.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra is the only carrier that can do location-based early warning.
Yes, make a sweeping generalisation.
By here.
Absolutely.
Oh, please tell me they printed the CCV as well.
Yeah.
The tiles change to offer you updates at a glance.
You sound like a climate change skeptic.
What did you think I was going to say?
Who knows?
Time is an illusion.
Lunchtime, doubly so.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole.
Lucky Gold Star has released an 84-inch 4K television.
Just for Graham so he can watch Star Trek on.
For just $16,000. The ultra
just
definition...
Just for Graham so he doesn't have to watch Star Trek.
Yes.
4K TVs.
The Ultra Definition TV has a resolution of 3840 pixels by 2160 pixels.
Yeah, and like it.
LG has even included an upscaler so you can make your SD and HD content look watchable.
Forget about that.
Okay. It also supports 3D, and you can install and run apps on your UD TV.
Nice.
LG has over 400 apps right now in its App Store.
Cool.
Available in Australia from November.
You won't be able to watch. Won't you be able to watch much content on it? That's the dilemma with these sort of televisions.
No one's producing 4K content for television.
Yeah, and there's no optical disc for it.
It's not even true 4K anyway. It's not quite, no.
Well, it depends on how you generate 4K, but yes, red cameras generate 5K, but that's another story. The fact that getting the content to the television set is going to be the hard part. Optical discs don't support it. It's going to come over the...
What's the appropriate viewing distance from a TV that size?
A fair way.
Yeah.
84 inch.
84 inch. You need
it's
a,
massive.
Need a fairly big TV room to sort of put that in.
Yes, and they've ratified the codec to get that the compression content, the squished content to you, which is H.265.
But that's a valid question. How do you get content to it? How do you get...
Yeah, good question. We don't know yet.
4K content to it.
It'll all be file-based and you'll need a media server that can handle it, which shouldn't be too difficult.
If you've got a lazy 16K, then scoop one up and let us know.
16K for your 4K.
That's it. Absolutely. That's against Andrew LG's massive 84-inch 4K 3D TV.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
www.ecwid.com. ECWID. Stands for e-commerce widgets. If you're a web developer or a WordPress blogger or a Facebooker and you want a simple, easy-to-configure shopping cart app with a slick user interface...
This is what you've been doing all
this
week,
this is the
it?
Site for you. Yeah, I have used this. It's very, very nice. Just drop the code into your web page or your Facebook or install the WordPress plugin and you'll have a fully functional online store within seconds. You can sign up for a free account. But for just a few bucks a month, Ecwid gives you unlimited categories, products and removes its own powered buy tagline beneath your shopping cart. I've used it. I think it's great. Have a look if you're a developer. That's our website, Andrew. Ecwid, ECWID.com.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
The Minecraft manual for Android. If you're a gamer, if you're a Minecraft maniac, this is a must-have application. It functions as a ready reckoner and gives you quick access during gameplay to every recipe.
Excellent.
It's broken up into categories like crafting and brewing. There are snappy images that give you a quick reference guide if you can't quite remember how to build a detector rail or an enchantment table.
Ooh.
And you need to know quickly. In addition to this, you can see video tutorials like how to build a trap, how to find diamonds, how to build automatic cannons, and much, much more.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it. I like it very much. Because sometimes if you're running full screen and you want to like alt-tab to your web browser and look at a recipe guide,
yep.
It's difficult. You've got to pause it and un-full screen it so you can move the mouse off and switch to your web browser and all that sort of good
it
stuff.
It can be a hassle. Having it on your phone is brilliant.
It's great. You can just prop it up there beside your keyboard underneath your monitor, and you've got everything there at the push of a button. Push of
love
a finger.
It.
Yeah. That's our application, Andrew. Minecraft Manual for Android.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bong. James Bong.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
A French woman who received a telephone bill for an amount nearly 6,000 times the country's annual GDP has had the real amount she owed waived after finally convincing the company they may have made a mistake.
Did they offer to meet her halfway first?
They offered to meet her halfway. Solène San Jose from Bordeaux in southwestern France could not believe her eyes when she opened the bill to discover she was being asked to pay.
Did they itemise the call list?
11,721 trillion euros.
Maybe
that could have fixed the Greek economy.
That's 11,721 with 12 zeros on the end. Ms. San Jose, a childminder, had been trying to cancel her account and told her local paper on receiving the final bill, "I nearly had a heart attack. Yeah. There were so many zeros, I could not even work out how much it was." Her alarm increased when operators at Boisieu Telecom told her they could not stop the balance from being debited from her bank account.
Oh, their bank will, though.
Another operator told her she would be contacted about paying off the bill in installments. Only after a series of frantic calls did the company finally admit the bill should have been for €117.21.
Where did the rest of it come from?
Boisieu Telecom said the mix-up had been due to a printing error and a subsequent misunderstanding. They apologised and let Ms. San Jose off the real bill, which was good of them.
That's printers very nice don't make those kinds of mistakes. Computers make those kinds of mistakes, and people put numbers into computers.
Computers don't make mistakes. People always are at the root of the mistake somewhere. Someone's made a programming error or a data entry error or something.
You know, someone's lolcats walked across the keyboard at the time and pressed a few extra numbers.
Those lolcats.
I know.
You'd just laugh, wouldn't you, if you got an account with that many zeros on the end?
Well, you got to wonder why they do it, and I reckon it's because they want a bit of PR. Which company? Oh, them. Mm. Okay, so when you're in France next, you'll know.
Maybe.
That's our hotspot, Andrew.
And that is the show for this week. 8 down, 7 to go. Well, actually, a lot more than 8 down. Anyway, we were
415 down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that right?
No, 405, 406 or something. We had our page error program the other day, 404.
Yeah, this is 406.
406, thank you. There you go. So, yes, you have been listening to Tech Talk Radio. And December the 3rd?
I did work out that TV, by the way. The optimum viewing distance for a 20-degree angle is 2.25 metres or about 7 feet 4 and a half.
For the 4K? For the big,
for that
the
LG,
big LG 80, one.
84 okay. inch TV, yeah. So you've got to be a fair way back from it.
You need a big room for it.
You need a big room to be able to sit two and a quarter metres away from
you. I'd go a projector before one of them. That's me. Anyway, that's Tech Talk Radio for the week. What were we saying? Yes, December the 3rd, put that into your calendar. Last show for the year, last show ever.
Subscribe to the email newsletter if you haven't done so already. Keep an eye on the website.
Yep, send us your emails. We're here for the next little bit. So until the same time, same place. Same city.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on app.net.
Oh, yeah, app.net. That's not... All right, till then. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter. Join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.